Are you filled with fear, doubt, worry about the future of our country? Do you feel the urgency to act before it's too late? If yes, then this podcast is for you. It's time for us all to confront the critical issues threatening our nation's fabric, our democracy itself, irregardless of our political stance. If you're ready to face reality, handle the tough questions, and find real solutions, then here's your host, Debbie Lynn Molyneux.
Welcome to the Terrified Nation podcast. I'm your host, Debbie Lynn Molyneux. Can we save it? Our nation? That's what we're exploring in this podcast series. And for me, the answer has always been yes, we can, and we must. Now, this show is where we explore alternatives to being afraid. And in the first five episodes, I offer this background framework. And I really highly recommend that you listen to those first five episodes because it provides a good foundation for not only how we got here, but how to get out of where we are to somewhere better. And we go on to interview guests and then have me come on and do these little vignettes, if you will, to help us move from, as a community, help us move from being angry or afraid or hopeless to become advocates for our nation so that we can live into the promise of our founders, dedicating a part of ourselves to a better future. Now, those of you who've listened for a while know that I like to start each show with a question that we'll explore together. Today's question is this: when we were children, were you as afraid of the boogeyman as I was? Now, for thousands of years, parents have used this threat of a boogeyman to convince and persuade or even threaten their children into doing what the parents want them to do, to behave. And this fear of a boogeyman is really the fear of an unknown, unpredictable person or situation or even an event that has been deeply embedded in each one of us. The unknown factor there is what makes it a boogeyman. And modern conflict profiteers are using this fear as part of their business model. Quite simply, our fear equates to their profit and their power. But what if we were to turn that situation inside out and upside down? How might we construct a boogeyman today? Well, let's get started. First of all, I want you to imagine a nice neighborhood. Maybe it's one where you live. And there are a few well-intentioned folks who really want to start a community garden. And within a few days of the proposal, half of the neighbors are in favor of this community garden and the other half are opposed. As neighbors begin lobbying neighbors to change their mind, the pro-garden group highlights how much they really want to grow their own food. And a small subset of them wants to start a garden-to-table dinner party. And a few others really want to sell produce at the local farmers market and make a few extra dollars. Great. Lots of industry, lots of entrepreneurship there. The anti-garden group believes that a community garden is going to attract vagrants and wildlife. And when the pro group proposes a fence, the anti group says, no, 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 because a visible fence is going to decrease the attractiveness of our neighborhood and it's going to negatively impact our property values. So the neighbors are at loggerheads. Half of them want this community garden and half of them don't. And tensions are rising as people feel alternately stymied or bullied about a community garden. And one morning in this green space in the neighborhood where the community garden is proposed, a sign appears. And the sign reads, "Gardeners are destroying the neighborhood. They spread shit around." Well, initially the pro-garden group is kind of puzzled and slightly amused because gardeners are destroying a neighborhood. I mean, that's laughable. Although they do acknowledge that their fertilizer does contain the smelly material as claimed, they just kind of shrug it off. Now, the anti-garden group grabs the smell claim and adds clean air to their lobbying efforts. So here we are at loggerheads with more agitation, shall we say. Now, over time, you know, about once a week, the sign changes. Each time the sign changes, the claims get a little more outrageous and go a little farther. So it goes something like this. The first week, you know, gardeners spread shit around. The second week, gardeners eat like rabbits. Okay, so we like salad. This is the third week. Rabbits are pests. The fourth week, gardeners equal rabbits. The next week, they breed fast. The week after that, save our neighborhood from being overrun with rabbits. And finally, the week that the rabbit trap shows up, it says it's okay to kill rabbits. The uncertainty of to build or not to build a community garden takes on this life of its own, never settling the question. The resolution of the community garden is unknowable and unpredictable. So neighbors feel unsettled. And that's why people become willing to think that, oh my God, I might need to protect myself. So these tensions continue rising. And eventually it does grow to feel as if a family and homes or livelihood are at risk over to have or not have a community garden. And survival instincts kick in and neighbors become willing to do anything to protect themselves and their loved ones from each other in their neighborhood. Now, within the neighborhood itself, people have stopped talking to each other. And if they see somebody that they know to be on the other side, they cross the street to avoid them. Anti-garden neighbors talk privately about how bad those people are trying to ruin the neighborhood. And pro-garden neighbors feel as if they're being threatened, especially after tacit permission to it's okay to kill rabbits is put up. And there you have it. Several boogeymen in this simple story. The community garden, rabbits, and our neighbors. Each can be seen as a boogeyman depending on one's perspective. But all hope is not lost. Before the conflict arose, two neighbors who were close friends managed to stay in touch, mostly outside of the neighborhood because they would meet in this coffee shop like in the next neighborhood over. And they would talk about what was happening because neither of them were happy about it. And frankly, the garden was the least of their worries in their opinion. And so the two decided to work together across the pro and anti-garden lines to find a way to restore peace in their neighborhood. First things first, they decided to find out who was putting up the words on the sign. Luckily in our story here, one of them had a camera on their house that could be angled in just the right way to see the sign. So they made the adjustments and they waited. A few days later, they got together to review the recordings. And on the third night after they hatched this plan, they watched the video as this truck pulled up and a person neither of them knew began putting the latest accusation on the sign, encouraging violence to rabbits. So who was this sign painter? Well, as they shared their video clip with both the pro and anti-garden neighbors, no one recognized it. The sign person was a conflict profiteer, stirring up shit for the fun of it or the profit. And once exposed who was behind it, the sign really lost all influence within the neighborhood and the conflict profiteer moved on. But the neighborhood still felt broken. Some neighbors were embarrassed about being duped, but they didn't really want to deal with the anger of their neighbors. And so these tensions remained. Now, the two friends who broke the spell of the conflict profiteer actually had a strategy beyond sharing the video. They hosted a series of dinner parties, and they intentionally mixed the pro and anti-garden crowds. The only rule for the dinner parties was that the topic of the community garden was off limits. And together they spent a year hosting and reweaving relationships within the neighborhood. Fast forward a year. As spring rolled around again, the topic of a community garden was approached again. and the same goals and the same concerns emerged. But this time, neighbors contacted their local community mediation center, and the mediator helped neighbors to reach a decision that everyone could accept. There are 350 community mediation centers around the United States. There's probably one in your neighborhood too. And I just want to say this short fable-like tale happens over and over again in real life. It happens online, and we witness it in our media too, and of course in our neighborhoods. Where do you see it happening? Now, in my opinion, the heroes of this story are the neighbors who remain friends, despite their difference of opinion. And you can be a hero too. Every one of us can be that hero that remains friends with people despite our differences. You can be a hero too. All of us can. Every year, thousands of events are planned during something called the National Week of Conversation. It happens usually in April, and this year in 2024, it's happening April 15th to the 21st. And there are thousands of events being planned, and you can either add your own event to it, plan one for yourself, or join one of those that's already planned and open to the public. One of the special things that's happening this year is something called the Better Together Film Festival. This is a collection of five or six films that you can choose one of them and host your own watch party, and then have a conversation about it afterwards. It's a great way of helping people to bridge divides and come together and have fun. And I would especially encourage you to invite people you disagree with, because we're all in this together. So I'm going to close this episode with two invitations for you. The first invitation is to participate in a national research project, sharing what you prefer for your own future. So far, the research is showing a lot of common ground in what we want. And if you would like to participate in this national research project, visit AmericanFuture.us and click on the self-interview button on the homepage. Now, the second invitation is to spend 5 minutes a day thinking about your preferred future, the one you just identified in the self-interview, and imagine how you will feel in that future when you already have achieved it, and then include or add in a little bit of awe and wonder. The reason is because neuroscience shows us that what we focus on most, we begin to subconsciously create. So the choice really is ours. We can actually co-create the future we prefer and not accept the dystopian options that the conflict profiteers benefit from. In closing today's show, I'd like to thank you, the listeners, for giving a damn about our nation. We may be a terrified nation today, but we can do better. We can divorce ourselves from the boogeyman, the conflict profiteers. We can save the USA. Join me next time.
So that's it for today's episode of Terrified Nation. Head on over to iTunes or wherever you listen and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week who posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $15,000 private VIP day with Debbie Lynn Molyneux herself. Be sure to head on over to TerrifiedNationPodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Debbie Lynn's gift, and join us on the next episode.